afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, can we just say before we start, by the way, today, that it is World Autism Day today. And Lewis texts us in just to let us know and asks us, will we give it a quick mention? So please be aware, by the way, it is World Autism Day. So if you do know somebody with autism or you do know a family that have autism, don't forget to send them a little message maybe or something like that on this very special day across the world. Also as well, I noticed that on the political circle, Simon Coveney has said that he would not be making himself available. Now, I'm just going to read his message. Last night, I spoke to Simon Harris to inform him that I would not be making myself available to serve in the cabinet when the Dáil resumes next week. I'll continue to work as a proud TD for Cork South Central and will, of course, actively support the government in the Dáil. I'm sure he will. Now, of course, Simon Coveney missed out on being the Taoiseach many years ago and probably has a little bit of a bitter taste in his mouth. The fact that Simon Harris is in there now and that Leo got in there and, obviously, Micheál before that. But in saying that, what we can see here is very obvious at the moment. We see all of the old stock jumping ship. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. They just want a fresh cabinet. They want people to see a fresh Fianna Gael and a fresh Fianna Fáil, you know, and maybe a fresh Sinn Féin while we're at it as well. But maybe not. Maybe they're jumping ship because they don't agree with the policies of their own cabinet. Maybe they don't agree with the policies of their own party. And we're seeing that a lot around the country, where local politicians for Fianna Fáil or Fianna Gael, or indeed Sinn Féin, are turning around and saying, well, no, you know, whatever they do in Dublin is a different thing altogether. No, we don't do that down here. You know what I mean? We're seeing that quite a lot, that they're all moving away from the policies of their own parties. Now, that won't matter, of course, once they're the Dáil and they have to apply the whip because they have to run with the party anyway. But it does make it very interesting when the elections come around, because local politicians will be telling the constituents at the doorstep one thing, but the party will be telling them something else, say when it comes to immigration policy or whatever it happens to be. So think carefully when you are voting in both the local elections and the general election next year. I think it is going to be very interesting times, maybe not immediately. My prediction this year, by the way, is if there was a general election before the end of this year, the Fianna Fáil will get back in. Fine Gael, I'm not too hopeful for. I don't see people voting for them or wanting them anywhere near the Dáil again. The Greens, I think, will be obliterated. And I think Sinn Féin have lost a lot of popularity because a lot of people, the core voters, who would be from your Sheriff Street, Sean McDermott Street, Ballyfermot, and working class areas across the country who voted for them the last time around for change, I can see them shifting because, as far as they're concerned, they've turned their back on the voters when it comes to immigration and different policies like that, and particularly the referendum as well. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. If you have any thoughts, you're welcome to send us a text or a WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, first of all, today, I want to get to this. Now, this is a story, of course, that was covered widely by Grip Media over the last month or so. And it kind of ties in with what's happening at the moment in the world. Well, in case you're missing out on it, Scotland yesterday, ironically enough, on April Fool's Day, introduced new legislation around hate speech and a hate crime. And essentially, for misgendering somebody, you can be accused of a hate crime and prosecuted for a hate crime. Now, J.K. Rowling has already been reported to the police by India Willoughby, who's a presenter on television. India Willoughby, of course, was born a man, but transitioned or identifies as a woman. And the two have had an ongoing spat on Twitter for God knows how long now, with J.K. Rowling constantly calling or referring to India Willoughby as a man. For that, J.K. Rowling could be prosecuted under Scottish law. Now, J.K. Rowling has now gone one step further and says she doesn't care. She's not deleting the tweets. And she has basically said to the Scottish police, arrest me. Come on, arrest me. Because this, she has now become an accidental campaigner, of course, against transgenderism. Or the fact that we shouldn't be forced to believe in it. So it ties into my first topic today. And it was reported in Grip Media that a teenage girl missed out on an Irish dancing medal to a trans competitor. So I'm just reading it here, and it says a biological male dancer has won a medal which otherwise would have gone to a female competitor at the World Irish Dancing Championships, which were held in Glasgow in Scotland, ironically enough. Alicia Salzman, who is a biological male player, beat female dancer Ava Rose Folan by coming in at number 20 in a competition where the top 20 competitors received a medal. Ava Rose placed 21st, meaning she didn't receive the medal. The results has led to significant criticism online, with many saying that the parents of the girls competing should not have accepted the male dancer in their ranks. Now, the organisers, the CLRJ, is said to be committed to creating a safe and inclusive environment for every dancer in our community. Dancers enter competitions that align with their gender identity. Dancing and competing as the gender they identify with as in their daily life. a motion, they said, seeking to enforce dancers to compete in the competition that corresponds to the biological sex was recently defeated by the CLRJ membership vote. A formal CLRJ inclusivity, equality and diversity policy is currently under review and we will be presented to our members in May. The goal is to provide a clear and robust IED policy that will help guide members and teachers in maintaining a welcoming dance community for all, where Irish dance can be celebrated. Also last month, RTE came under fire when women's rights activists for its coverage of the darts competition, where Ireland's Katie Sheldon reached the final of event two in the 2024 PDC Women's Series, but was beaten by a transgender competitor and a biological male. In its report, the state broadcaster said that Katie Sheldon produced a dramatic comeback to win three successive legs as she edged to a 5-4 win, but fell short against the Netherlands' Noah Lynn. In the event two decider. Noah Lynn, of course, is a transgender woman. We could talk about many other athletic sports, but let's not confuse the issue. As people are saying that it's generally unfair, but is it okay in sports that are not considered athletic or where physical strength or stature is not a contributing factor? And that's what we got to look at here, because there is an argument by some, I wouldn't make the argument, but there's an argument by some that when you start bringing this into the argument, Irish dancing or darts, which is not a physical sport, so to speak, that, well, I suppose you could argue that Irish dancing might be a bit of a physical sport. They do have categories, by the way, for male and female. But, you know, people who identify as female can enter female categories. But that you're diluting the argument. That, yes, there's an argument to be made when it comes to weightlifting or when it comes to running or jumping or something that involves, you know, athletic skill. But when it comes to, say, darts or, I don't know, chess or, in this case, for example, Irish dancing, that, you know, well, then your argument is now being diluted and it's a bit silly. But is it silly? Because is it just a point of principle that, you know, when we allow it to happen like this, we are essentially what they will say is you're allowing men to infiltrate women's sports. And that for nearly over 100 years, women have fought for rights. And the reason we have categories in sports is because we identify that men and women have different strengths. When it comes to athletics, when it comes to skills, there is an argument, by the way, by some professionals that when it comes to, say, darts, for example, that men think differently to women when it comes to the mathematics on the board, that men have a different arm length. The length of the forearm is longer. So there's a different throwing skill. That women have their own skills, but they're different. So they shouldn't be mixing the two together because the two have a separate set of skills. The same would go for Irish dancing. Men's legs are different. Their upper body strength is different. Their back is different in the way they stand and dance. So if you look at a man dancing and a woman dancing, it's very, very different. And the reason is because of the physicality of the body. So that it's unfair to have the two dancing in the same. But I don't know. I don't know much about Irish dancing. So do you think it's unfair to have biological men entering any sport involving or that has categories for men and women? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Let me go to Joe Nula and Stephen first, if I can. Joe, hi. Let me just switch you on there. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Joe, hi. How are you?
Hi, not too bad, Niall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joe, I mean, look, I suppose there's an argument that, you know, Irish dancing and darts are hardly the most athletic sport in the world. So what difference really would it make?
Well, the way I look at all this, Niall, I think this ideology of transgenderism is a toxic situation. It's getting kind of sucked to the stage now where people, it's been forced down people's throats. And I don't accept this nonsense. Like, I'm like yourself, I'm an old school kind of person. I believe that a man is a man, a woman is a woman. And if there was the situation that there was a, if I was saying there was a hate crime committed here, I would stand by my rights, and I would say that I don't believe in this nonsense, because I think that the person who won this competition, the woman, or whoever, to the woman or a man, they should get the priority before a transgender person. Because transgenderism is a fake ideology. It doesn't exist, in my view. It's been shoved down by NGOs in this country and all over the world to brainwash people into believing their own crap. That's what it is. And it's the same with climate change and all this ideology that's going on.
That so you're not, so you, so the, your argument is, look, it's my opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion, and if I don't want to buy into it, I don't have to buy into it, and I shouldn't be forced into it. But you believe by doing this, we're forcing people to believe in something that you believe is an ideology.
It is, yeah, and I totally, and as I said, I've said it to many people over the years, and over the last 2 years, they're trying to force all this nonsense on people because they know that people are not taking any more crap. And this has been going on an awful lot in the last 4 or 5 years. Like, you had it with the COVID situation, you had it with the war in Ukraine, you had it with other issues, you had it with even with this business. Remember when they were telling people not to be putting on their heating or use electricity from 5 to 7 because they end up being kind of, you know, paid more than what they should be paid.
So what you're trying to say to me, that all these different things that are happening, you believe it's about control, you believe it's about telling people how they should feel, how they should think, and you're not allowed to critically think anymore.
That's what it is now, yeah. It's as simple as that. And okay. I tell you something, I would not accept it. And I will tell you, if Simon Harris or any politician in this country rams this into, say, if someone rams this down my throat...
Well it's not up to Simon Harris. Now, I know Rishi Sunak in the UK has basically come under fire today because he has got involved in the Scottish law with the J.K. Rowling argument, and he has basically said that nobody should be forced to believe in it or nobody should be forced to adhere to it, okay? And that he doesn't see anything wrong with misgendering people, okay? He said it shouldn't be a criminal offence to misgender somebody. But essentially what's happening, you know, with this situation is that you are misgendering, or we're all misgendering, by saying, you know, this is a biological male because the biological male doesn't identify as a biological male, identifies as a woman. So you believe that because there's categories, we should adhere to those categories for men and women, and they should be just for biological men and women. End of.
Well, that's the way I look at it, Niall, is that it's either it's a man or a woman. That's the way I look at it. I don't believe in this modern day fairy tale nonsense because that's what it is. They're bullying people. And the more they bully people, the more people are going to revolt about it, you know?
Mm.
And I can see a lot of revolt breaking out in this country over time because you saw it with the referendum last month. The government were put in their box. I can see other things coming down the track as well.
So you think people are standing up against wokeism is what you're saying? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think wokeism, like everything else, is a fairy tale. It's like a played out soap opera. It's a joke. It's just an absolute joke.
Okay, well hang on, Joe. Let me just go to Nuala as well. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Oh, not too bad at all, no.
Good.
I know that, say, at one time, now I'll go to a different story, but at one time I was out in Roundstone, so this man bought a cow for us at the Athenry Mart. And when he came, brought it back, there was no way that it there was something wrong. I knew there was something wrong.
Didn't
with
have
it,
a penis.
No,
cow wouldn't have a penis. Sorry.
No, there's such a thing in nature as a free Martin.
What's a free Martin?
A free Martin would be a cow, usually part of a twin, that wouldn't have any ovaries, but would be very masculine in lots of ways. You know?
Oh, right. It'd be intersexual, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't, but it's
but that happens in human nature as well with human beings. That was a very small percentage.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, well, no, that's a very small percentage of people.
A very rare minority.
Yes, of course.
So I think what is happening in Ireland and Scotland, all that, we're being ruled by minorities because they're being well funded by different groups.
Yeah, to be fair, Nuala, 99% of people who identify as transgender or men who identify as women are not intersex. They're not people. I mean, that's a different completely kettle of fish, and my empathy goes to anybody who's born in that situation. Normally, statistically, people who are intersex primarily are usually male. And doctors will normally perform an operation at birth or at a very young age to, you know, separate the organs. Yeah. Hmm.
But I think, you know, like, these are a minority of people, but like, why impose something for the minority? I mean, you have to be very sensitive to minority groups and you have to kind of help them, you know, like, say, people with disabilities of different types, but to let them kind of structure your way of thinking.
And you are right. You never let the minority rule the majority, right? And you have to sacrifice you shouldn't sacrifice, should I say, the rights of a majority for the rights of a minority. And I accept that. But you also have to establish the fact, or you have to recognize the fact, that minorities should have rights too.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But I think the case of Enoch Burke, I know he handled it and the family probably handled it the wrong way, but he had a genuine case there that can you be forced? Like I say, there's a lot of languages that don't have pronouns, like Turkish and like a lot of Arabic languages. They don't have gender. They don't say him or her. So, like, to imprison somebody because they don't say that's stupid.
No, but Nuala, to be fair, with Enoch Burke, okay, now don't go into the whole...
He was kind of a...
No, he wasn't jailed because he misgendered somebody. That's not why he was put in jail. And that's not why he's currently in jail. He's in jail because he won't obey the order of the court. That's so. It's nothing to do. Well, I suppose it all stems from the fact that he wouldn't identify somebody as the opposite gender. But that's he was suspended from school because of that, and then decided he would kind of have his own protest outside the school. And by the way, 10 out of 10 for persistence. But in saying that, he was ordered by a court not to stand outside the school. Now there by the way, you know, I do stand with him in the sense that, you know, everybody should have a right to feel whatever way they want to feel as long as they don't hurt somebody else in the process, right? But the thing about it is, people saying that he's in jail because he misgendered somebody are factually incorrect. That's not true. He's in jail because he's in contempt of court. He won't obey the order of a court. He could walk out of jail tomorrow. There's nothing stopping him. All he has to do is go before a judge and say, I'll obey the order of the court. And if he wants to, then he can go to the High Court, the Supreme Court, and take a case against the school or whatever it is for his rights as a Christian not to identify somebody as the opposite gender. That's fine. He could do all that if he wants to. But all he has to do is obey the order of the court. Now, I understand he's a man of principle, but that's a kind of different, that's a very complicated case.
Yeah, I get that.
You know.
But I like to say, like, if you have to change your sex to get extra drugs and surgery and all the rest, it's kind of gone down a very strange road.
I personally wouldn't do it, no. You know, certainly not. Okay, but do you think it's unfair that, you know, a man or a biological male, should I say, who identifies as a woman should be allowed to enter an Irish dancing competition for women or a darts competition for women?
Well, I think it's better that they're separate, because I think your overarm strength would be stronger for a man than a
generally
woman.
Generally speaking, generally speaking, yeah.
I think that's the way it is. And then at the Irish dancing, should they only jump, the only kind of Irish dancing as we know it, only came in the 50s, I think, because before that it was always men that did the chanos. It wasn't women, you know, these little skirts that they have with all the designs on it. Yeah. That wasn't there, I think, in 1920.
No, probably not. Nuala, thank you for that. Let me just go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you? Hi, Stephen. Sorry, I lost you there for a second. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, so, you know, I fail to see where the problem is with both of these, but I suppose people would expect me to say something like that. You know, when it comes to both of these people, they both competed within the rules of their governing bodies in their respective countries in order to get to the national and international competitions that they're in.
Yeah.
So where's the problem?
The problems that people see was on a point of principle. And I understand the point you're making in relation to darts and Irish dancing. They don't really rely on, you know, people being very athletic. It's more to do with skill. Now, there are scientific arguments, and people will argue in relation to darts, that men think differently to women when it comes to the maths on the board. Men think differently to women are different when it comes to, for example, their upper body strength, the reach of their arm. And I don't know whether they're flimsy arguments or not, right? And also when it comes to Irish dancing...
I would kind of call them fairly flimsy, unless you're going to go out and test, you know, 10 of the highest ranking dart players of both sexes and measure their arms and their legs and their muscle strengths and their eye coordination and all these other kind of things. All things that can be influenced through training over time.
Okay,
you can be taught to throw better. You can be taught to jump higher. You know, we don't separate Irish dancing or any kind of dancing.
Well, no, I don't know about the jumping higher part, because it has been proven that men have better, upper arm or upper body strength as well. And when it comes to, say, jumping or athletics or running, I mean, I get into those in a few minutes, you know, weightlifting, all those, men hold all the records in the world. And there's a reason for that, because we're physically different to women. That's why we separate them into categories of men and women. And we've done that
for
years.
But then arguably a heavier darts thrower is going to be stronger than a lighter darts thrower.
Possibly, yeah. Okay, but the point is, Stephen, is it not a point of principle rather than whether it is scientifically better or worse. Is it not a point of principle that for years women have fought for rights? And there are, you know, women do have rights. And, you know, just like men, we have rights too. And we are different to women. I mean, anybody who says we're not is clearly, you know, there's something wrong with them. We are different to women. Because if we weren't different to women, men wouldn't want to be identifying as women if we were exactly the same in the first place. So realistically, because we separate ourselves from women as a category, and we do that in all sports, well, almost all sports, there are very few sports where the categories are mixed. There are some. That realistically, when you have a women's category in an event, no matter what it happens to be, allowing a biological male to enter or somebody who identifies as a man, you know, it's just principally, on the point of principle, it's just wrong.
I fully see where the principle of no men at all, period, full stop, end of, if you were assigned male at birth, you are verboten from this group. You know, because if you, I'm sure a lot of people are coming at it from the point of view that, oh, well, if we allowed a teenage boy to compete in the Irish dancing with the girls, it's a slippery slope. They'll keep competing, and then there'll be another one, and then there'll be another darts player, and there'll be another swimmer, and there'll be another rugby player, and there'll be another tennis player, and there'll be another this, that, and the other. So I understand. That's why, you know, the barriers are being fully pulled down and going, no, end of, period. If you want to go and compete, you go and compete with the rest of the boys, regardless of what you look like, how you sound, what your name is, how long you've been transitioned for, what level your testosterone is, whatever other category you can think of to differentiate somebody, because it's a bioessentialist argument that says, well, you were assigned male at birth, fuck off.
No, it's not that you're assigned male at birth. You were born biologically a man or a boy. Are we in denial now? I mean, you know, when the baby comes out and the first thing the doctor says to the mother and the husband or the boyfriend or whatever it is, send their congratulations on the birth of your baby boy or your baby girl. Are we denying that that's a biological fact anymore? I mean, it is
no,
about, I mean, because there's X and Y chromosomes involved, not just penises and vaginas. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that we are different.
There are chromosomal differences between every man on the planet and every woman on the planet. And a lot of women have XX chromosomes and as XY chromosomes and XYX.
I wouldn't say a lot. I wouldn't say a lot.
2% of the global population or the entire population of Australia. But anyway.
What I'm saying to you, Stephen, is we've had categories for years and it's served us well. You know, when we see, for example, the Olympics.
As in, it serves men very well not to have anyone else compete.
No, not at all. It serves probably women better because it would be so unfair on women when we look at athletics, for example, say the Olympics. It would be so unfair on women to be competing in swimming, you know, sprinting, high jumping, I don't know, hurdles.
So why hasn't every trans athlete ever that competed beaten every single one of them and not
a lot of them do? A lot of them do. A lot
of
them do.
The dancer was beaten by 19 other girls.
Absolutely, but I'm not focusing on this one thing.
21st will be moaning about the 20th person. You know, their hair was prettier, or they got extra marks because they're.
But I mean, look at some of the other examples. Look at some of the other examples. I don't know the names of these individuals, but there was a weightlifter who didn't race at all in the men's competition, but entered the women's competition and won every competition. You got Leah Thomas, of course, the famous swimmer.
She didn't actually win every competition.
I'm talking about Leah Thomas. Obviously, you know, didn't grade
again,
very
not
well.
Not won every competition.
Not won every competition, but done an awful. Done an awful lot better.
They matched joint fifth in a competition against Riley Gaines.
But it doesn't matter. Did a lot better in women's competitions than they did in men's. For obvious reasons. Because they have an advantage. Would you not accept that?
I would accept that there are differences between the male body and a female body, but those differences are not permanent.
In respect of what? If they're taking testosterone? Or if they're taking estrogen?
In respect of their ability to perform. Now, okay, if I, you know, come to 6'4" and then I transition, you know, I'm still a 6'4" body, but my ability to perform in that body decreases because of the level of hormones in my body.
Stay there for a second. I want to go to Circa Ni Lachlan. Circa, hi, how are you? Thank you, Stephen. Circa is from the sports spokesperson for the Countess. Circa, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Niall, how are you?
There is an argument to be made, Circa, that when we focus on, say, this particular story of the darts player or the Irish dancing player, that we're actually delusing the argument. In other words, that yes, there's an argument to be made when it comes to a sport that involves athletics. And by the way, there has been some evidence that male darts players think differently to female darts players. For example, there's an article here, men are better at throwing sports due to concentration skills, and this is according to MDX Academic and X-Darts Pros. But realistically, are we diluting the argument?
No, I don't think so. You know, any sport that has developed a category in which women should be competing only against other women clearly has seen a need for that category. And that category should be protected. So, for example, in darts, they have an open category. Anyone can compete in it. But they've also protected the category for the women's series in recognition of the fact that for many different reasons, women need a category in which they can excel when they don't have to compete against men. I'm just looking up at some research here, and it does say that there was a PhD study done on this kind of thing. And there was also another publication in 2007, which talked about sex differences in darts, and it says that male players recruited from a largely small pool of club players were superior to the best female players selected from a much larger pool at international level. So you can see this shows that kind of what Stephen was talking about there, where they won't always win, but the mediocre males will compete at the elite level in a female competition, and that's why the differences are. It's not that every man will beat every woman, or that they will always win. It's that they will perform at a much higher level within that pool because of their physical advantages. Mm. So stuff like you were talking about, their stance, stature, arm reach, throwing force, even the fact that they can lean forward further and get more power behind the dart means that it will be more accurate when it hits the board. So there are sex differences, but even where the sex difference is not there and it was purely social, that category still was created to protect women and give them an opportunity. So it's an inclusive category for women, and it shouldn't include anybody who is not female. That's the basis of it. And similarly with Irish dancing, there are separate categories. In some competitions, you will have open, where boys and girls will dance together, and in some, it should be based on sex. If they've decided it's based on sex, it should be based on sex, not gender. Gender identity or somebody's self-proclaimed identity, because that's non-verifiable. Particularly the male advantage is not negatable in any meaningful way. So I'm going to surprise you now by saying I agree with Stephen on his first point there. He said that those athletes, it's the governing bodies allowed those athletes to enter. And it's the governing body's responsibility to protect the athletes within the categories, and they are letting women down. So the fact that an individual boy or man has entered the competition reflects poorly, I would say, on that boy or man. But it reflects so much worse on the governing bodies who should be supporting.
But they said, the organisers, by the way, of the dancing, for example, the CLRJ, said it's committed to creating a safe and inclusive environment for every dancer in our community. Dancers enter competitions that align with their gender identity, and that was voted for in a membership vote, by the way, because they did actually have a motion seeking to enforce dancers to compete.
The membership vote, I believe, came after a half a day training by transgender inclusion advocates. So they haven't had an unbiased presentation, for example, or they haven't actually looked at how this impacts women and girls. When they talk about a safe and inclusive, they only mean safe and inclusive for boys, because it is not safe or inclusive for a girl to be told that her needs, her well-being, her rights are less than those of a boy.
Okay, let me go back to Stephen in relation to that. Stephen, you know, men have larger hearts, greater lung capacity, greater muscle mass. I'm looking here where it talks about it.
On average.
More red blood cells, higher bone density, less body fat on average. I know a lot of men with a lot of body fat. All of which give males, particularly when it comes to darts, all of which give males performance advantages over females. In other words, nobody asked the women, you know, and the point Circa's making is that it's all well and good, you know, for an organisation to say, oh, look, we're going to be inclusive and we're going to allow anybody that aligns with the gender or gender identity in. But they didn't ask the women about this. And what about their rights?
Well, arguably, they had a more unbiased ability to cast a vote when it came to, I don't know, I assume it was the darts that voted to allow the trans inclusion policy, because they were made aware of
But when, know, but why not go to the open categories?
Why they're happening the vote in the first place.
But circus point is, sure, why not enter the open category if that's what you want to do?
Well, why doesn't everybody compete in an open category?
Because
then?
That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Well, why then do we need an open category?
Because if we had open categories in everything, in other words, there was no male and female categories and just open categories, well, then men would walk away with nearly everything. And sorry, Circa, as a woman, I apologise for saying that to you. But no, unfortunately, we have to face the facts that men hold most of the world records.
Like 14, 15-year-old boys are out competing elite Olympian women in athletics. That's why the categories exist in the first place. If it was open, if every single sport had an open category, no women would win. Ever.
Can you care to prove that? Email me or text me or put it up on Twitter, a link to teenage boys are outperforming female Olympians.
Yeah. If you check on boysversuswomen.com, you'll find a huge array of stats that prove what I just said. If you look
at there goes my afternoon.
okay. Stephen, you advocate.
Even at under 8 and 9, there's differences. I looked at a presentation from a conference last year, sports physiologists had looked at the records across loads of different national and international competitions between pre-puberty boys and girls. And the boys would win about 2/3 of all the medals if the categories were open. In some sports, they would win almost all the medals. So even before puberty, you have this difference, and it's accelerated by puberty, and it's not negatable. Now, I will say what Stephen said was true, is that somebody's on testosterone suppression for a long time, it does impact their muscular performance, but only against other males. It will never, ever make that person into a woman, and it won't make their sporting performance equivalent to a woman. So, yes, there may be a need for some kind of reorganisation of categories for people who have impacted their own sporting ability. But that should never come at the expense of women and girls. You know, their category is there for females. If a category is needed for males who now can't compete at the same level they did previously because of the choices that they've made for whatever therapies, then that needs to be looked at, but not at the expense of women and girls. That's my point. So, you know, they will lose some muscle mass. They will lose some hemoglobin, and that will affect some of their performance, but never will it ever turn them into women or make them compete at an equivalent level to women. And that's the point. So what you have is mediocre, mid-range athletes in the male performance level who will suddenly be competing at near the top of the female level. So if you had a case where an actual elite male athlete decided to enter the female category, he would wipe the floor with anybody. We're not seeing them win because they're not actually elite athletes yet that are doing this. But if they were, they would 100% win everything. If they're mediocre athletes, maybe 3 or 4 women have a chance of beating them, maybe 19 out of whatever at the age of 14. But never will there be an equivalence. It's not possible to make somebody change sex. It's just not possible. And the sex differences are real and they are permanent. And they exist from the moment of conception. That's determined at conception whether you're going to be male or female. Then it's expressed in utero by development. There's testosterone already impacting the male development even when they're growing in their mother's womb. It's identified when they're born. They look at the baby and they say, yes, this is a boy or this is a girl. But every single cell in that person's body expresses their sex. Every hormone level, every heartbeat, every breath, everything is impacted by whether they are male or female.
Okay, I'm looking at a website here. It's called boysversusmen.com. 2016 track and field and swimming events, boys versus women. Boys won 86 medals, girls won 8. So, I mean, Stephen, that kind of says it to you. And I don't know if it's an urban myth or not, but wasn't there a story going around that after the American World Cup team, the female World Cup team, played an under-15s boys team and lost?
Yeah.
So,
Australian women's soccer team as well had the same. They played in a warm-up. They called off the match because the scoreline was so
embarrassing.
Horrendous. They were under-16 boys. Yeah.
So it's not some sort of myth, or, you know, Stephen, that men generally are better athletically than women. They are, and that's not disparaging to women. Women are just built differently, and that's why they have to be categorised separately. Now, I do understand that to some degree it dilutes the argument talking about things like chess or darts or whatever it is. But there is evidence there that they do think differently. There is evidence there from pros that the reason they're categorised is because they play differently. But hang on, because I want to go to a dancer as well. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Niall.
How you doing?
Just back from a dance yesterday, and I'm thinking of it all in dancing terms.
Okay.
Thank God it doesn't exist in dancing.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one.
Sorry, What sort of dancing do you do?
I do it all, Niall. Do it all. I do ballroom, Latin, Ciroc, blues, salsa. I do it all. I do it all because I love it. But at the dance yesterday, something did strike me.
Go ahead. I lost you.
To myself, do you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm a pretty good lead, so I think I'm just going to ask some of the ladies up. And that's what I did, because, you know, not everybody can lead, male or female.
I know. I used to do ballroom dancing when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I figured out I'm a great lead, and I said, I'm just going to, when I'm not dancing with a man, I'm going to ask the ladies up, and my God, did it enhance the dancing for me, you know?
And that's fine, by the way. And I used to see that in ballroom dancing all the time when there wasn't enough boys there, for example, girls would take the lead. Or vice versa, by the way. I've seen boys when I used to do ballroom dancing, I was only 12 or 13 at the time, and they would take the female part, right? And that's perfectly fine too. But when we're talking about competitions that do have strict, you know, ladies and men's categories, is it fair to have a man or a biological male who identifies as a woman in that category?
I think in dancing it's perfectly fine, as we saw with Jason winning the glitter ball. He was one of the best dancers there. There were one or two others as well. David was fabulous. But I mean he deserved that trophy. He was great. But when it comes to darts now, I mean, I can't argue with Sorica. I agree with, you know, pretty much everything she says. With darts though, I don't know if I agree with it with darts.
But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter whether we agree with it. Here's the thing that I'm trying to say to Stephen. Does it matter whether we agree with it or not? The point is, there is categories. And whoever set those categories up originally did it first, either, as Stephen rightly pointed out, maybe social reasons, apart from anything else, or they set it up because they looked at statistics and said, well, look, anytime we put men and women together, the men are always winning. So let's have a separate category for women, and let's have a separate category for men to give women, to be fair to women. And that's why we have the categories.
Which is only right.
Yeah, so on a point of principle, even if they were both equal at the sport or whatever the skill is, on a point of principle, is it not wrong to have somebody in who identifies as a man, even if it doesn't involve skill or even if it doesn't involve, you know, being athletic or whatever it is? Is it just not wrong on a point of principle?
When it comes to athleticism, I think you're probably right. You know, these people have studied it and the muscle mass and all of that, especially when it comes to running, swimming, all of those things. Mm. Yeah.
Stephen, you've gone suspiciously quiet for some reason. I'm not too sure why.
Heaven forbid I should let a woman speak.
But thank you, Stephen. Much appreciated.
But Stephen, I mean, look, okay, you speak every single, on a regular basis. I won't go into what you do for a living, but I know you're a volunteer as well, and you speak to a lot of people from the LGBT community, and you speak to a lot of people, young people, who, of course, are in the community as well. I mean, what's their feelings on this particular aspect of the conversation or debate?
I think a lot of people are, you know, rightly kind of unsure as to what way things should go. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, categories were created because women demanded to be able to compete with in bowling or tennis or whatever other sport. And we said, oh, actually, that's a good idea. You should be let do that. So here you go. And now the whole idea of, well, you know, this 10-year-old and that 10-year-old running in a race are now at odds with each other because one of them has an advantage over the other, you know. Mm-hmm. And they see it as stupid, really, more than anything else, in that, you know, they're 10. It doesn't make a difference. They're running in a school sports day. What difference does it make? And they kind of see the same thing as, you know, the local, national and international competitions as well, in that these people are, you know, at the peak of their performance, they're able to do what most people can't do. They should be allowed to do it the way they're, the way they want to do it. And the governing bodies are reacting to it by saying, well, you know, we have to try and balance everything and keep it as fair as is possible. So this is the best compromise that we can come up with, because every majority has to yield to a minority in some categories, in some ways, socially, legally, ethically, whatever. And the majority of minorities have to yield to the majorities because, well, they hold all the power.
I mean, Circa, okay, let me ask, just to go back to Circa.
I can be gay or not, or whether I can compete or not. Like, well, I am
being
not,
gay
like,
is
up until very recently. Yeah, but up until very recently, if I wanted to, you know, join any branch of the civil service or compete on a sports team, I would be incompatible with the rest of the team because I'm gay, and I would be excluded from it.
Well, that's unacceptable, and we all accept that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, Circa, just in relation to, you know, where...
I just
where...
had one other thing I wanted to say, though. I mean, the whole notion that, in inverted commas, mediocre male athletes will transition so that they can have higher achievements and recognition...
They're not transitioning. They're identifying. There's a difference.
They're transitioning or identifying or whatever way you want to call it, because if they are going to be able to compete, they have to meet the governing body's recognition standards, which means that Noa Lyn had to be at a stage in her transition that met the Darts Commission's rules to say that they can compete, and they've only been competing as a woman for 2 years.
Okay, but sorry, just let me go back to Circa on that point. Okay, hang on a second. Circa, on that point in relation to organisations.
Stephen, just
for 2 seconds. Hang on, I just want to establish something.
My general point, because my general point is that why are people saying that it is mediocre men who seeking, you know...
But it is.
Better appreciation are going to transition and subject themselves to the entire world's public scrutiny of their transition
because
in their life.
Because some of them can make quite a substantial money out of
from
it.
From that.
Okay. And adulation. Let me just go to Circa. Sorry. Circa, in relation to governing bodies, whether it be the GAA, whether it be the IRFU, whether it be whatever, the FAI, whatever, where do the government bodies stand on this at the moment? And where do they currently say, for example, in Ireland, we'll take Ireland for example. I know in the UK there's been some announcements in relation to cycling and other events where they won't accept it. But where do the Irish governing bodies stand on this?
So it's mixed in Ireland. The IRFU have protected the category of female to female at birth, so some from the beginning. And then there's others where they talk about not going through male puberty. There's others where there is no policy. A lot of we're waiting for the Sport Ireland guidance on transgender and non-binary inclusion in sport to be released, which was released last Thursday. And I think they were hoping to get some clear guidance from that, which I don't know that it is very clear, but that report I think will lead a lot of governing bodies now to actually put forward policies. But for example, the LGFA policy, it allows any males over 12 to play in ladies Gaelic football, and then there are certain caveats, but there, you know, then there's a thing about risk assessment which talks about how having a male player would not necessarily constitute a risk just because they're a male, or as they say, just because from the mere participation of a trans woman's participation or something like that. Whereas basically what they're saying is it'll only be in exceptional circumstances that would be a risk to women, whereas we would say that it is an exceptional circumstance if you allow a male onto the pitch, especially in something like ladies Gaelic football, where it's high risk of collision.
Well, we've seen that already, haven't we?
So they enacted that policy saying that they were obliged by law. And that is factually untrue. They were not in any way obliged to allow male players into their sport.
And where does the law stand? Where do the equality authorities stand on all this?
So a person in Ireland can get a gender recognition certificate if they're over 18. Any person, no gatekeeping, no nothing, that will say that they are now the opposite sex.
Yeah, I can identify tomorrow as a woman.
However, you could. 16, 17 and 18 year olds can do so with a bit more complicated process. There have been very few of those. Without that certificate, nobody is obliged to treat anybody in any way as if they are the opposite sex. With the certificate, it applies in certain instances, but there are exceptions under the Equality Act. And that means that where necessary, sex can be used as the discriminating factor. So you can exclude on the basis of sex within sport or for privacy and dignity reasons. For example, in private spaces, single sex, changing rooms, toilets, etc., wards, hospital wards, and prisons. Now, that doesn't always happen, but it is lawful to make that discrimination. And it also, the Gender Recognition Act, as Alicia says, it's a shield, not a sword. So it protects that person against discrimination on the basis of the fact that they are have a transgender identity. But it's not, it can't be used to force acceptance of that person. So, for example, the pronouns issue, you can't compel somebody to refer to you in the way that you want them to, but they can't discriminate against you. So it's kind of two prongs, a little bit complicated. In terms of sport, the law isn't explicit, but there are two different acts that apply, the Gender Recognition Act and the Equalities Act. And the Equalities Act allows for discrimination on the basis of sex.
Okay, but look, sorry, I'm sorry just to cut you a little bit short there, because, sorry, Sharon, was there something else you want to say just before I go to Kathy, because she's waiting ages there. I do apologise. Sorry.
The only thing I would say is that I don't think in dancing it applies.
Mm.
It really doesn't, because, you know, Jason proved that, and I don't see why there would be any difference. Dance is an expression of the self, but whether they're male or female.
If dance is a competition, though, it involves some level of athleticism. There is stamina, there is strength, say, in terms of the jump height, in terms of how long in Irish dancing, how long they can rally for, you know, how well they can maintain their performance through the whole dance.
There are also plenty of women who outperform cis men.
Women have babies. Women have babies.
Yeah. Get over it. Well done.
Listen, my point is that women have babies, okay? So women are strong. Men are strong. In dancing, I really don't think that it matters whether they're male or female, because they can both train.
Agreed.
You know?
Okay, Well, hang on. And thank you for that, Sharon. I do apologise for cutting everybody a bit short, but I want to go to Kathy, who's been waiting a long time. And I do apologise, Kathy. Kathy, good afternoon to you. Now, Kathy, you're the mum of a trans girl who detransitioned.
Well, she desisted, so she didn't actually take any medication. But yeah, she was pretty serious about the whole thing.
Okay. So so at what age did she decide that she wanted to be a boy?
Oh, I said probably 11, around that kind of age, 11 and a half. But she didn't actually come out to me officially until she was 13 and a half.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then at what age was she when she decided, actually, no, I've made a mistake?
She decided with the help of me. So just before her 14th birthday, I'd say about a month before, I decided to do a little research on the whole thing. And I discovered what she actually believed and what they all believe, these trans activists. And I'm sure this is what Stephen believes too, but they have certain arguing tactics where they will try to appear quite reasonable. But they do actually believe that you can actually change sex for all intents and purposes. They believe that if you change your hormone profile and do various cosmetic surgery, for all intents and purposes, have changed sex. And they really believe that there's no reason why they shouldn't be treated as a woman. You know, well, men shouldn't be treated as a woman, you know.
And throughout the process, you were determined not to affirm her identity as a boy. You didn't want to affirm her identity as a boy, I assume.
No, I never affirmed her identity, but she was actually, she did have comorbidities, so autism, ADHD.
Okay.
She's actually a lesbian as well. Which is, these are all factors that...
They are factors, and we've seen the statistics in relation to autism and transgenderism, and it's not a coincidence, you know. I mean, obviously, some people are more vulnerable to ideas than others.
Exactly.
I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not brainwashing people.
Sorry, Stephen?
I said we're not brainwashing people.
You are, Stephen. You are.
Can you tell me why your daughter desisted?
hilarious. You know, honestly, you know...
Can you tell me, did you ask your daughter why she desisted?
Of course I did, Stephen. Of course. We had
so
many,
why
many
did she desist?
I'll tell you why, Stephen, because
lack of social acceptance.
No, hang on. You've asked her a question. You've asked her a question. Let her answer it. You've asked her a question. Let her answer it.
So once I pointed out, Niall, exactly what this cult consists of, so that you actually can't change sex. And, you know, my daughter had no idea that there was all these side effects with hormones, and that she would be sterile. That, you know, she thought that all these operations would actually turn her into a boy, and that's what they're actually told online and by their peers and by these little LGBT, you know, teen groups they go to. They're told these lies, that they're all, and they're told that they think they will actually pass the boy, and no one will notice that they're like a couple of feet shorter than all the real men that are around them, and that they're, you know,
well, there are small men too, you know. I mean, I'm not that tall.
There are small men, but then when you actually see a group of trans people together, you know, you see these teeny tiny little men and these giant women, you know, it's quite comical, really.
Okay, so you convinced her anyway, and is she happy and embracing her femininity now?
Oh, she's absolutely totally fine. But the thing,
so it's just, as far as you're concerned, it was a phase she went through.
No, it was more than a phase. I think she was brainwashed. Basically, that's exactly what Stephen said.
Okay.
Yes,
indoctrinated, I think, is the more common word.
Whatever word you want to use.
Stephen. Okay, just and I'm going to come back to the sports in a second, but indoctrination is a huge part of this. It is a huge part of it. We've seen, Stephen, the evidence, and I spoke to Kevin Lester the other day, and we'll put that interview up actually tomorrow, but Kevin, or on Wednesday. Kevin Lester is a school teacher in England who was fired because he wouldn't confirm the identity or affirm the identity of a student who was a girl who wanted to be a boy, and he wanted her to enter a female maths competition. Now, the student herself didn't complain, by the way. It was one of her friends who made a complaint. He ended up in court and he lost his job. Now, he did go to all the student safeguarding policy. He wanted to contact the parents, but the principal wouldn't let them and said the parents didn't need to know about it, which I thought was bizarre. Anyway, because she still is a minor under the age of 18. But the point I was going to make in relation to these kind of situations is that we've seen the evidence from schools where you would have one school that would have, you know, 10 or 20 people identifying as the opposite gender, and some schools with none. And they say the reason for that is, and there's actual evidence there, that it's a social contagion.
And as I've said to you 100 times, everything is a social contagion.
Well, we're talking about the lives of children.
The fact that
I don't mind wearing clothes.
Is that I socially contagioned her to agree with me on some point of view. She heard what I said. She agreed with it. That is social contagion.
No. Okay, but when you, it's okay. We can have social contagion when it comes to things like hairstyles or fashion or things like that, because that doesn't affect somebody's life directly. I mean, I used to have long, blonde, curly hair and wore, you know, denims with Pink Floyd embroidered on the back of it when I was 17. Didn't mean I was going to be like that for the rest of my life. But when you have a social contagion that directly affects or impacts somebody's health, whereby they start taking testosterone or puberty blockers or whatever.
But your autonomy to make your decision and how you presented yourself is the same as a trans person's autonomy to make a decision about how they present themselves. Nobody I know is saying that you can change your sex. Everyone I know is saying that you can change your gender presentation to present as the person that you feel that you are. The same way as everybody else.
Stephen, I know that that's your official line, and I know that that's what you say.
It's my opinion, and it's the fact that I know from the people that I speak to.
Yes, and you know also, Stephen, all of these children truly believe this. And if you talk to them, they truly believe it. And they will go to therapists and they will go to this person and that person.
I know plenty of trans kids.
None of them disabuse them of this concept. None of them turn around and say, actually, you can't change sex. And all you can do is just do a bit of cosmetic surgery and take a few cross-sex hormones. But they never actually are told the truth by adults.
Nobody is actually trying to force a child into a transition of any kind, whether it's socially, physically, or chemically.
I don't know. Have you read the reports from Tavistock?
Just for a point.
I'm asking you, have you read the reports from Tavistock?
Healthcare for anybody under the age of 18. And anybody over age of 18 has a minimum of a 10-year wait list to even be considered.
Have you read the reports from Tavistock? Have you read the files from WPATH? Have you read all of those?
Yes.
And Niall, it might be an idea for you to have a look at all of these people and how they get hormones privately. So there's tons and tons of young people in Ireland, both under the age of 18 and over, that get their hormones quite easily. Like Gender GP, you just ring up, you can do an online appointment for €300, and they send you a prescription, and off you go. And if you go on to...
There's nobody doing that in Gender GP anymore.
No, not. That's exactly right, Stephen. So they were, right up until that was stopped.
By the way, can I point out to everybody listening, it's illegal to order any prescription drugs online, by the way, in this country. But I know people do it all the time. We were talking about it recently with abortion pills. But sorry, I want to get back to the sports argument, Cathy, if I can. And I'm sorry your daughter went through that. And I'm glad, you know, that you feel happy and she feels happy now with the result at the end of it, okay? And I know you're speaking at an event very shortly in relation to that as well. And I'll come to that event very shortly. I'll mention that. But Cathy, getting back to sports, there's an argument, and Stephen makes a reasonable argument, that when we talk about, say, darts or Irish dancing or chess or whatever it is that doesn't involve a huge amount of, you know, athletic skill, that, you know, we dilute the argument. That, yes, if we're talking about weightlifting or running or, you know, high jumping, okay, there's a valid argument that we can all have in a debate, but we're diluting the argument when we complain about those ones.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know if you have a mathematical background, but there's such a thing as statistical analysis called a bell curve. So it's the standard, it's the distribution of people in various categories according to like how they perform. So if you took a distribution of men versus women in all of those categories, including chess, you would see that the men are going to outperform the women at the extremes of that bell curve. So for even in chess, because chess is basically just intelligence, it's just pure intelligence.
Well, it's mathematical skills, yeah, more or less.
Yes, and actually IQ. So if I've just finished reading a book called The Bell Curve, and it's actually one of the things it looks at is if you look at the bell curve of female intelligence versus male intelligence, overall, on average, we're exactly the same. But the tails of each end, so for example, there's more male geniuses, like a lot more, and there's a lot more male extremely stupid people. So on the two tails are
so men have the extremes, so a lot of us are completely stupid or very intelligent, whereas women tend to be more in the middle, is what you're telling me. Yeah, exactly. Although there are very intelligent women, of course.
Yes, of course there is, because we're talking about a normal distribution. So for example, for chess, of course you have to split it. It has to be categorized, because if you look at the two distributions, it'd be completely unfair, because you get like 10 male geniuses and you get one female genius, you know. And so that's just the way it works.
Well, men are risk takers as well, by the way. Men are always been risk takers. When we look at stupid videos of people doing stupid things, it's usually men.
It even could be something as simple as like the impact of the menstrual cycle and our reproductive cycles on our ability to perform on a certain given day or given time of our lives. So if you talk, for example, about, say, a master's chess player, and then when I'm talking about masters, not a grandmaster, but like over 40s, say, somebody who's performed. So a man competing against a woman at that age between 40 and, say, 55, when a woman might be going through menopause for 6 or 7 years, that affects her concentration, it affects her thinking skills, it affects all of that. She should only be competing against other women who may also be going through that, you know, for fairness. So even if you take away every single sort of athletic difference, there are still basic differences between men and women throughout our lives. Our lives are governed by our reproductive capacity as women. Our hormone cycles change over a 28-day cycle. We are roughly 28 days. We menstruate. That affects we have pain. It affects our ability to even control our bladders, where we have, you know, more urgency to go to the toilet. You still get the same amount of said toilet breaks against a man. All of those kind of things are never ever taken into consideration when we have these discussions, but they are actually fundamental. Even the level of progesterone in your body will impact your optimism or pessimism.
And I think that's a fair point. So I want to come to Stephen on that. Stephen, you know, we talk and I talk on the radio as well, generally speaking. Last year we were talking about, you know, having, you know, breastfeeding breaks for women. You know, in Russia they've introduced 2 days off for women who have heavy menstrual cycles. You know, there's loads of things we're doing now to make the workplace better for women, who obviously have a difficult time of it biologically, because we don't have all the problems they have, apart from the fact that we're stupid sometimes. So realistically, you know, if we're trying to make things all equal and all better for women, and we're, you know, we're waving that kind of virtuous flag all the time, why does this go completely against that virtuous flag and say, well, actually, let's make it more difficult for women in this particular category when it comes to sports, because we got lads out there who identify as women or who want to be women, and we're going to put them in with those women as well? That completely goes against everything else we're trying to do for equality.
Well, we should be doing all of those things, and, you know, more power to it. Maybe our governments or future governments will cop on and make a few extra changes that are more beneficial for the female sex. You know, but this argument of, you know, we're tipping the scales and making it unfair and unequal and unsafe, possibly, for female athletes to compete against people that were born in male bodies, it hasn't stacked up yet, in my opinion.
How many women will have to be disadvantaged before you accept that it's a disadvantage? Like,
let's just look at the marathon race that happened in the States, where a trans woman finished 19,600 and something other, and the women behind that trans woman were moaning about it. She came 19,000th or 1,900th, whichever it is, out of everybody.
But that person,
you know,
was in the wrong. They were in the wrong category. So like, what I'm saying is, at what point for you will the scales tip? Because you keep saying we don't know yet. But what we're saying is, we can predict that this is unfair. We are starting to see the results of this in terms of injuries and loss of opportunities for women. So for you, you don't have to answer this online, but for a reflective question for yourself, how many...
You never answer anything online, but anyway.
How many girls would you like to have to see a penis in a changing room before it's too many? How many girls would you like to see leave their sport before it's too many? How many women would you like to see lose out on Olympic opportunities before it's too many? This is now. Now is the time to stop this before it's too many. We know what's going to happen. We have an opportunity, especially in Ireland, where we have very, very few at the moment impacted by this. We have an opportunity to actually say, hang on a minute, we value all people equally and all children equally, and by the value of equality, female sports must be protected, and we will do it from that.
And by the way, females must be protected too, because I kind of remember this story about the pro female boxer Clarissa Shields. She bragged, claiming she could beat pro male boxers. She got knocked out in 8 seconds by an amateur.
So, Stephen,
it's all well and good saying you can do something, but realistically, we have to be realistic. By the way, just before I let Circa go there, I do want to mention, by the way, that the Countess are having an event in the RDS. When is the event, Circa, and how can people get tickets if they want to go along to it?
Yep, it's on the 27th of April from 12:30 to 5:30. Really varied lineup of speakers, and you can get tickets if you visit our website or check out Ticket Taylor. .com or check our Twitter, our Facebook, all of those kind of platforms, and you can see it if you just look up the Countess Conference Resisting Ideology. And we love to see as many people as possible there. It should be a really good day.
Absolutely. I'll be heading along myself to have a good look. I know there's some great speakers. I know Stephen, maybe you should head along, Stephen. Stephen, you know what I mean? Might be interesting.
Maybe they'll send me a ticket.
Yeah, we'd love to have Stephen.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, Stephen. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Just as an attempt to answer your question, because I have to go as well. I need to get to work.
Yeah.
And you know, there are what, 2-3% of people who are trans competing at any kind of high level sport across the planet. You know, does that need to? I'm not saying that needs to get to 10, 20, 50% to have equal representation or anything like that. I'm just saying that the people that are in these cases where they really want to compete should be allowed to compete. And if they're not allowed to compete, then the governing bodies should create a third category for everybody. But the problem with a third category, just as an aside, because I'm not wholly against the idea of it, but the problem with it is trying to get anybody else who isn't trans to compete in it, or to force trans people to compete in it, because again, this becomes a segregation. It becomes a discrimination.
Well, it's kind of like the issue. It's like the suggestion that there should be a trans bathroom or toilet. You know, I mean, you kind of don't want that either, I suppose, because the point you're making is then it segregates people. I don't get that.
Well, we already have trans bathrooms in disabled bathrooms. We also have a couple of gender-neutral bathrooms in some of the newer buildings across the country. I think a gender-neutral bathroom is not a bad thing, but, you know, I'm not terribly uncomfortable, you know, using the bathroom in the same space.
But I do appreciate the point Sarah's making when it comes to children or people, minors under the age of 18. You know, how many girls have to see a penis before we decide it's not a good idea anymore?
How many girls see penises when they're growing up?
That's absolute and utter nonsense. There was a case in the United Kingdom where a boy who was 15 years of age was identifying as a girl, demanded to use one of the colleges that they were in, the female bathroom. Thankfully, they lost the case because the school said, no, you can't do that. You can't be just walking around, you know, female changing room with your langer hanging out. You know, that's just not appropriate. And parents, if I was the parent of a young girl, I wouldn't want lads walking around with their penises hanging out in the middle of a changing room.
No.
It's just not appropriate, Stephen. You know, at over 18, they can decide themselves. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they should be able to decide themselves. And, you know, the authority should listen to them. But under the age of 18, we have a duty to protect minors. Hang on, because I want to, thank you, sir. I don't know whether you can say or not, Stephen, but because I want to go to Sarah as well. Sarah, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Go ahead, Sarah. What do you want to say?
Yeah, just before Stephen goes, maybe I could ask him, can he name a single woman who says they're a man who has taken the prize money trophy or the opportunities away from men. This ideology is only negatively impacting women, Niall. You're only seeing women and girls losing out. So you had Kim O'Brien there last month, who was an Irish pool player who forfeited to a man rather than compete against him. You had Katie Sheldon, who missed out prize money to a man, 20-year-old Irish woman. None of the mainstream media here in Ireland covered it because, again, it's taboo. We're not allowed to cover this topic.
Well, I know RTE were criticised over that. RTE were criticised over the fact that they...
Yeah, they did answer. And so only women across the world, in every country where this ideology has absolutely skyrocketed, only women are missing out. So even
it would be fair to point out that the majority of trans people are men who obviously identify as women. It's a smaller percentage of women who identify as men, but it doesn't cause a biological problem because you're not going to see a woman who identifies as a man wanting to say get into a boxing ring with a bloke. It's just not going to happen.
But also, actually, statistically, the new cohort of trans people are predominantly, the younger ones are predominantly young girls. I think about 60 or 70% of the teens and 20-somethings are actually women who think they're men. They're mostly, as well, there's an overrepresentation of autism as well. So actually, based on that, you would expect that you're going to start seeing them. But the reality is, a girl may think she's a man, cut off her breasts, take hormones.
Wow.
They have no ability.
I've seen some of those horrendous stories of women who've detransitioned, who have regrets, and it's too late. They've already had their breasts removed. They've had surgery and had their breasts removed. It's horrendous.
Exactly. And they're not taking, back to the sport topic, they're not taking prizes off men, and they're not taking sponsorships.
Why, Sarah, do you know why we're seeing an increase? I know social media has a huge amount to do with it, but why are we seeing such an increase of young girls wanting to be boys? Now, when I was young, there were girls who were tomboys. We used to call them tomboys. You know, they'd want to play with, you know, football with the lads. They'd hang around with the lads. They'd go drinking with the lads. But most of those women, you know, after they got to about 18 or 19, started to embrace their femininity again.
Yeah. Well, I have two daughters and I have a son, and boys and girls are very different. My daughters, I see now the pressure they're under kind of socially. You know, the definition of a woman is this kind of hyper-sexualized Kardashian-esque image.
Yeah, the lipstick woman, they call it. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, being pumped at them. And I see, like, you know, they all, if you look at my 15-year-old daughter and her friends, you know, they all dress the same. They all look the same. They all try and look at like each other. And then you see the other girls who maybe are you know, on the autistic spectrum or who can't fit in with that kind of mandated look. And if there's no category for them, so then they're defaulting, and some of them are then are autistic or some of them are lesbian, defaulting into this other category, which is, oh, well, then I must be born in the wrong body because I can't see myself like that. I can't navigate that. You know, over sexualized, and so
because there's too much competition in that part or that category, there's too much competition.
It's too hard.
Yeah,
it's too hard. And it's like my 15-year-old now, she's got skincare routine.
Kathy. Yeah, jump in there, Kathy. Go.
Yeah. Just as someone who has her daughter went through this, and I know all her friends were all trans or non-binary or whatever. So I know exactly the type of girl that gets sucked into this, and it isn't as simple as just. The ones that flirt with the idea of like not like wanting to grow up and be a woman, they're not going to stick with that idea. In fact, they're probably they would be trans allies, and they'd probably encourage other girls to go down that path. But it's the ones that are damaged in some way or vulnerable in some way, they're the ones that are in danger. So the rest of them, you could just say yes, it's just like hairstyles and it's just a fashion and a fad. But it's the ones that are vulnerable that could get sucked into this, and their lives are destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, their lives can be absolutely destroyed, yes.
And another thing, Niall, just back to a point that Stephen was saying, you know, why don't we just let it, because, you know, it's only 2% of people, this, that, and the other. Like, why aren't we asking the question, why don't we just say no? What's wrong with saying no? I mean, the categories are there for a reason. They've been there forever. And then this new, like, cult comes along, and suddenly people are falling over themselves backwards, a virtue signal, and pretend that they're all, you know, they have this, you know, they're more
advanced human beings because they can understand what trans people are. And the rest of us are just like plebs that are stuck in this kind of biological reality, you know.
I do think, you know, sorry, I want to come back to Sarah on that matter. I think social media, Sarah, and sorry, Kathy, just cut you a little bit short there. Social media plays a huge role in this because you got kids who are looking at, say, Dylan Mulvaney, for example, who's hugely successful. And I think eventually will come out, by the way, Dylan Mulvaney, and say he made a fool of everybody. I think he's just doing it for the money. And they're looking up to these idols. They think they're idols. And they're going, well, you know, they're successful and they're getting attention. Isn't that what this is all about as well? They're getting a bit of attention out of saying, you know, they used to be a man and now they're a woman. I'm sure I could go down that road.
Yeah. But in real life, though, Niall, can I just say, like, I went to Dundrum yesterday, the day before with my daughters. It was yesterday, actually, it feels like longer ago. And there was, within about 5 minutes, they had spotted themselves four trans-identified men. One fellow was about, I'd say, about 6'5". He's with his mother. And they're absolutely terrified. And so back to the sports topic, no one's asking about how does it feel if you're a young girl and you're told you're playing with a boy now, there's a boy in the changing rooms. Like, we already know when it comes to sponsorship and pay, women are paid a fraction of what men are. In the United States, they get maybe 3 or 4% of the total sponsorship female athletes. And so the dropout rates of teenage girls. So you're now injecting in to this scenario where already women and girls are at such a disadvantage financially, opportunity-wise. And again, I have a son who's 17. The opportunities for sporting participation and competitive events for him in the sports he's played his whole life in Ireland are way bigger than what's available to girls.
Yeah, there's very few specific sports where girls get paid the same. Tennis would be, I suppose, the best example where girls and men and women earn equally at the same amount.
Exactly. And like my son now, he's at elite level at 17. If he decided tomorrow he wants to play in the girls' events in the sport that he's in, he would absolutely dominate in every single
course he would.
Competition.
Yeah.
And so the point I'm trying to make, though, is about that we know the physical differences. And, you know, it's very easy for Stephen, who will never be impacted because he's a man and doesn't have daughters and doesn't understand what it's like to actually have a daughter and see her having to navigate the world. But like for me, you know, my 15-year-old, there's boys in her school who say they're girls. Why should the girls have to go along with that? And there's also there's the compelled speech, the compelled thought. You know, there's a boy put into the Irish dancing competition and all the girls have to go along with it. What if one of them doesn't feel comfortable? What if one of them says, well, that's a boy? Where is their right to object? They will be absolutely vilified and attacked. And so we're forcing this idea on all of these girls. Not only do they have to compete and participate and they can't have their own thing, why can't they have their own thing? But also, they are a problem. They will be targeted if they put their hand up and say, well, that's a boy. And what gives anyone the right to tell a young child that the earth is flat and to make them go along with it?
Well, we're seeing that playing out in Scotland right now as we speak at the moment, of course, with J.K. Rowling more or less demanding the British police or the Scottish police arrest her, taunting them to arrest her. And by the way, she's now become an accidental campaigner. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm just waiting for the day that J.K. Rowling will be standing in a dock saying, what are you accused of calling a man a man? Well that'll be an interesting time.
It needs to happen. Well, if you look at RTE, actually, this morning, they actually covered J.K. Rowling. And I think it's brilliant because the hate speech laws are coming in here. And people need to understand the outcomes when you bring in this compelled speech. And I know someone mentioned Enoch Burke earlier, and you're right that he's in there because he won't go along with the court order. And I wish he'd played it differently and just gone through the normal process, the grievance process.
Yeah.
You know, so we haven't had some legal challenges.
No. I did say in relation to Enoch Burke, you know, 10 out of 10 for perseverance, but I just think he's doing it wrong. You know what I mean? But in saying that, he has his way of doing it. I'm not going to disagree with it. That's his way of wanting to do it. He could walk out of jail in the morning if he wanted to, and then he could take all the legal routes that he wants to, you know, to stand up for his right.
Yeah, I wish he would. I wish he would. But, you know, my point around the sport and the girls' participation is, you know, if that's one of my daughters now and a boy turns up in the changing rooms and or on the pitch with them, I will, I speak openly in front of them about this. They have every right to put their hand up and go, I don't feel comfortable.
I don't want to be in a changing room undressing with a boy. I don't want to be put at risk playing sport, physical tech sport with a boy. How have we gotten here? We never even got equality for girls, of equal opportunity, equal pay.
I don't understand how women, because women are a very powerful voice in this world, right? And believe me, because most of us are either married to them, us men are either married to them or we have a girlfriend or whatever, right? So they're a very powerful voice. They're not quiet. They're not shy about saying things. They fought for over 100 years for rights. Those rights are now being taken away from them. And yet we're seeing women, and it is women as well, who are agreeing with it. And I just find it bizarre when I hear a woman standing up for the right for a man to walk in with his penis hanging out into a girl's changing room, and I hear a woman standing up for that man's right. I'm blown away by that.
Well, I don't know. Did you see last week there was two men who say they're women. They were retired civil servants. They were hosted by the Department of Foreign Affairs on a YouTube. I'll send you the video for an hour and a half. An interview with a man. So three men sitting on a stage, two of them with wigs on. And they were talking about their transition, I'm doing that in quotes, in the department. One has worked in the WRC and the other one worked somewhere else. I can't remember. And they openly talked about how they had gotten HR, even before they transitioned, to make sure that the office, to go around and make sure there wouldn't be a problem if she, and then he corrected himself, he said they objected. So I think a lot of women have gone along with it out of fear, right? If you have situations, civil servants like that, where they're openly, and they were laughing, I have to send you this link. They started talking about when they went into the ladies, and he was like, oh, they went into the ladies and I expected sparkles and it was disgusting. And they're all laughing. I'm like, here's a man sitting up on stage being platformed by our government, bragging and giggling and laughing about having HR support him in silencing women so that he can go into the women's changing rooms and the women's toilets.
I get you. It blows me away, Sarah, that women support that, by the way. It's bad enough that men support it, but that women support it. But actually, I think, do you know what? I think less men actually support that than women. I think women are the champions of all this, which is shocking. So. Well, hang on. Just say there for a second, Sarah. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi. Yeah.
Niall, how are you doing? All right.
Okay, get back to the original question. I've only got about 10 minutes left. I have to go to Jackie and Angela as well. But in relation to the sporting aspect of it, the darts, the Irish dancing more recently, which are kind of flimsy kind of sports because really they don't involve a huge amount of athletic skill, but in saying that there is differences between the sexes, do you believe they should be allowed to identify as women and enter those sports?
Well, I watched the programme of a swimming meet that was going on for women that wanted to qualify for either the Europeans or the Olympics. And the women were complaining about a man being in the qualifying sessions. And the camera cut to the guy. Jesus Christ, he was absolutely massive. So
Was that Leah Thomas, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
I didn't even listen for names. I just saw this giant of a man in a black leotard.
Who identified as a woman.
Yes. And they pulled out of the competition. They didn't want to qualify against the man.
So why were they? Why could you can't compete against that?
Exactly. Well, why are they allowing it? Anyway, then there was another person down in Kerry who was either at a darts tournament or a pool tournament, and they pulled out because they got drawn against. They won all their section, and then she said, I'm not going into the next round because I don't want to play a man. And she has the right to do that.
Well, you're saying she has the right to do that, but unfortunately, at the moment, it looks like she doesn't have the right to do that, or they don't have the right to do that, because the governing bodies of these organisations are allowing men who identify as women enter the competition under the guise of a woman.
And here's another one for you. My son pointed this one out to me about a weightlifting competition in Canada, and this guy that identified as a woman went in and blew all the competition away. And set seven new world records in that weight division.
I know.
That women could never lift.
And a woman will never beat that record. Never beat that record.
Never. Not in a million years. He came in, he done the damage and he fecked off, you know. So I think, look, I thought Stephen was a little bit dismissive of women when the fact that a woman has a baby was brought up. Women are sacred, in my opinion, because they bring the next generation into the world. A man can't do that. We contribute through the making of the baby, but the woman births the child into the world. That's gifted to her. That's a special person. You can't be just dismissing people. Oh, so what? She can have a baby. He wouldn't be here only for a woman, would he?
This is true. We all have mothers. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, men's sport is for men's sports. And Niall, I'm old school. I'm a dragon. I'm going down to the pub tonight for the game of darts with the lads. End of story.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that, Morris. Appreciate it. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, hi. How are you?
Well, I'm with Morris. I'm definitely.
Are you going? You're going for the game of darts too, are you? Yeah, okay, yeah, with the lads.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Jackie, is there any sport where you know where there is categories where you know men who identify as women should be allowed to play?
I reckon that once you start giving away sections, be it the Irish dancing, be it darts or whatever, it just multiplies and suddenly it's everywhere.
So it's a point of principle, now, in other words. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a point of principle. And the other side of this is there seems to be, and you were talking about social media. Social media is driving this and certain agendas in governments are driving this. But if you take within a competition and you have someone there who is identifying as a woman and you have whoever is, you know, the judges of that, they're kind of going, well, maybe we should be kind of seen to be, you know, kind of pushing this along. And suddenly that person is winning certain competitions. And then you wonder, is there funding supplied for organizations who actually have transgender people within their clubs or whatever as well? I'm just curious about
diversity
that.
You know, funding, I know in Great Britain they get a credit score. You know that that organisation there? Sarah will help me out here. I think the organisation who was involved in going around getting large companies to print booklets off on diversity and do videos for their staff and encourage the staff to wear little badges with their pronouns on it, that they get these kind of social credit of some description. Their company, you know, gets the LGBT, you know, mark of approval. I'm not too sure the name. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of the organisation that was doing it. It could have been Stonewall, I think, yeah.
Yeah, similar to the political end of it, where you have parties who get a fat check for taking on non-Irish as to be a representative in a local area. So they get serious funding to do that. So it's a buy-in. But the main problem here is that you're not allowed to talk about this openly. I've been looking at J.K. Rowling's tweets and stuff, and now she's my hero. But the fact that we're gagged, now, in fairness to you, you're putting it out there and you're letting people speak on both sides. So that's one point. The other point is the girls or women should be able to decide if this is going to be allowed or not allowed. It should be the competitors and that. They should be the ones that should dictate this, not the governing bodies, because there's so much other politics attached to that. But the girls themselves, if they are not comfortable with a man who's identifying as a woman being in the competition, well, then it should be a case then that it's not allowed. And let's have an actual trans competition, separate entity altogether.
Yeah, well, they had suggested that, but I think Stephen made a fair point in relation to that. If they had a trans category, there wouldn't be enough people in it. Do you know something? Because, you know, there's only 2% of the population or whatever claim to be transgender or gender.
But then why spoil this on other people? Mm. I mean,
I don't know why women are the victims of all this, because men are not being the victims of all this, because you don't see, you know, women who identify as men infiltrating male categories, because there'd be no point in that.
Yeah, well, as another example, we were in a venue there a while back, and on the door, the toilet door was male and female. And one of the times we're in it, I noticed women coming running out because some guy had gone into it.
Yeah,
and that. So the next time around, I taped the man from the female, so that it was only the female sign.
Yeah,
and then people were coming up to me saying, "Thank you for doing that."
I mean, look, I've no problem with a small cafe or restaurant having a single unisex toilet because they physically don't have the space for two toilets. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But in an organization, you know, in a workplace or wherever where you have bathrooms and bathroom space, they should be separated for the purposes of dignity, because people want privacy. And I completely agree. And by the way, can I just also mention, before I go to Angela, on a side note, I'm going to start a one-man campaign to ban urinals. I think urinals are the most disgusting, horrible, smelly, antiquated notions ever. I think they're just urinals just... What is it about lads wanting to stand there with their mickeys in their hand? I just don't understand it. It's just horrendous. It's undignified in every single way. Sorry, that was
just
a side
note. Different show.
Yeah, it is. Stay there, Jackie. Stay there. Angela, hi. How are you?
First of all, I'll go against that because where will the ladies go to the toilet when the men are standing at the urinals and the ladies' toilet is full?
You haven't gone to the jacks in a urinal, Angela, have you? I did see a girl doing it one day, by the way. He's right beside me.
No, I haven't, but I've gone into the men's toilet to go when there's, you know.
I was in Club M one night many years ago working, and I was in the jacks, and I'm standing there at the urinal. Next minute, a girl comes running in, lifts her dress, and into the urinal she goes.
Good woman.
Yeah. Great aim. Anyway. Sorry, Angela, getting back to the sports very quickly. I've got 5 minutes here. Getting back to the sports. Does it matter what the sport is, or should men or who identify as women be just blanket banned from entering women's sports?
Blanket banned from entering women's sports. As I said, I know a female prison officer in a prison in Ireland, right? And they now have a transgender prison officer. So a man who is now as a woman demanding all the rights, you know, I should be able to go into the women's changing rooms. I should be able to do it. But not only that, he is a cyclist competitively. And now he's winning a lot of the women's races because he's now cycling against women. And that is wrong.
No, because male cyclists hold the records and they're faster than women. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, like. But, I mean, the thing is, like, I know somebody whose son, transitioned into a girl, and she's now a girl, and she's a beautiful-looking girl, but she's not out there going, you know, I need this, I need this, I need this. She's not.
But on the one hand, you're giving out. Hang on. On the one hand, you're accepting that you know somebody whose son transitioned into a girl, and now you're saying to me she's a beautiful girl. But on the other hand, you're not. Well, then you're kind of being a little bit hypocritical because you're accepting person, but you're not accepting the other person who wants to do the cycling. I personally don't believe a man can ever become a woman. By the way,
I'm not accepting competitiveness. I am not.
Do you believe a man can become a woman?
No.
Well, then why did you say I know somebody who's, you know, transitioned and now they're a beautiful young girl? Well, so you obviously do believe it.
What I've always said, Niall, is if a fella wants to dress as a girl or a girl wants to dress as a fella, fine. But you give away all your rights. And don't expect to be treated as a woman. Not treated as a woman, but to have the same rights as a woman, to do what a woman does. Don't expect that. You want to dress as a woman? Fine, happy out, but don't expect.
Are they a woman? Are they a woman? If somebody,
no, of course they're not.
Okay,
no, they can get boobs, they can get whatever they want.
Jackie, do you accept that somebody can change their sex or their gender? Do you think they can?
I'm sorry, I don't. And I was just going to make a point there in the schools. This is where it's all happening from the national schools up, and there's a serious problem going on here where this is being pushed. So much like that people, until they get to 18 years of age, that they really know their bodies and know their own minds. But this thing of 5-year-olds, 12-year-olds.
It's disgusting.
And then saying...
All that is brainwashing. It is indoctrination. Yeah. Listen, lads, ladies, Angela, sorry for getting you in at the last minute there. Thank you very much indeed as well, Jackie. Lots of people, by the way, texting in. I've got some WhatsApp voice notes here that I just want to pop on for you just very quickly before I give you a bit of information before we go. Let me just hire that up there. There we go.
Niall, if you ask me, it's basically legal cheating. That's what it is. It's cheating, if you ask me. Cheers, pal.
And, also, I want to play this voice now because I mentioned at the start of the show, by the way, that Lewis from Lucan was on to us and he wanted to raise awareness that it was World Autism Day. So he sent us in a little message. So I just want to play this for you as well, for Lewis.
Dear Niall, this is Lewis here. I have autism and having autism doesn't really, like, bother me much. But, like, with me, like, with my autism, I have Asperger's syndrome. Like, having it, it doesn't really affect me even though I'm 21. Like, it affects me a tiny bit when I'm flying on planes. Like, I'm afraid of flying on planes. I have, like, really bad, like, emotions when I'm going on planes. I just can't deal with planes and flights. Like, I delayed him, like, for over 2 hours a flight. And, yeah, it always happens. So I always have a panic attack when I'm trying to go on a plane with my family and stuff. And, yeah, and, like, autism, like, puts me into, like, this box. Like, it doesn't put me into a box. I just want to say this. To anyone that has autism and that is finding it difficult, don't let it, like, define you, who you are, because you're just you. Being, like, autism, you're just different. Like, having autism, you're different towards anyone else. And, like, me, the way I have it, it suits me. I like having autism, personally, because I love it more than everything else. I mean, it makes my day, and I have no filter when it comes to autism. I say what I want, and I just blame it all on my autism, and that's what I like, Niall. Anyway, so I hope you are all well, Niall, and I'm loving the podcast. So anyway, see ya, bye, happy Tuesday and happy 4-day week. Bye.
And happy World Autism Day. That's Lewis, by the way. I love the way he said he uses his autism as an excuse. And he's right. Embrace it. He said he just feels different. And that's perfectly fine too. You can feel any way you want to. By the way, loads of messages, by the way, coming in about today's topic. Thanks for that, Lewis, by the way. Loads of messages coming in about today's topic. Give trans athletes their own separate sporting categories where they're playing, the playing field is equal. Well, we mentioned that already, but there wouldn't be enough of them. They wouldn't be able to compete against each other, and that would be kind of hilarious too, wouldn't it? Lorenzo says, I think it's disgraceful to let men compete against women. Maureen says, Stephen has no argument here. He needs to cop on and realise women exist. He does my head in. He does a lot of people's head in. The Black Dog, but we have to get the other version and the other, obviously, opinion on the show as well. The Black Dog says, flatly, my dear, I don't river dance. Stephen says, no, it's absurd. What's the point in having categories they're not adhered to? And Alien says, no, they're cheaters and being affirmed by people who have no sense of what's right. Cheaters, cheaters, and more cheaters. Can I mention as well, just in relation to, we were talking earlier on to the Countess website, and we were talking to Circa, and she was mentioning, somebody said to me, when is the event on again? It's called Resisting Ideology, and it's on in the RDS in Dublin on the 27th of April. Tickets are available now from the Countess website, or indeed you can go to tickettailor.com. That's tickettailor.com. At the event, by the way, there will be lots of speakers. I will be there. I won't be speaking, but I'll be there. I'm going along just because I want to listen to it myself. And Kelly J. Keane, better known as the Posy Parker, will be there as well, speaking at the event. So I'm sure there'll be a little bit of controversy around that, because there always is everywhere she goes, isn't there? There's always protesters outside saying, no, you're not allowed to talk, because we demand that we're the only ones that can talk, and anybody else with a different opinion is not allowed to speak, because they usually go everywhere, don't they? The, you know, that kind of the woke people. Anyway, so it'll be an amazing event, an amazing lineup. And as I said, Kelly J. Keane, the Posy Parker will be there. And it's the Countess are organising it. If you go to the countess.ie, you can get tickets there as well. By the way, it's called Resisting Ideology. And there will be a lot of speakers at it, by the way. So please go along. I'm sure it'll be a good event. Well organised by Leisha, by the way, who was on with us last week, Leisha De Bruin. Thank you to everybody involved in today's show. Can I just say a very special thank you, by the way, to everybody for being so patient over the weekend. And we had a horrific weekend, bank holiday weekend. Myself, the team here, we worked so hard because, unfortunately, we had a huge technical problem with the website, which wasn't just something we could fix, you know, in 10 minutes, you know, I don't know, whatever, just a backup or whatever. It was a huge problem. I can't go into it in detail, but it was a huge, huge problem. And we basically nearly had to rebuild the whole website. But all our content, thankfully we have a backup of all our content, but all our content had to be all put back up again, taken down, put back up again. So thanks to everybody who had patience over the weekend to notice that the website was down. We did put a couple of posts up saying it will be back up. It is back up now, by the way, and it's working again 100%. And thank you, by the way, to one of our listeners of the podcast who stepped in formidably to help us, because he has a lot of technical knowledge and was an amazing help over the weekend. I won't tell you who it is, but maybe if you want to, you can WhatsApp at 085-100-2255. But he was an amazing help. He volunteered his time over the weekend, and without which we wouldn't still have the website up. And thank you to him, by the way. He knows who he is. But you can guess, 085-100-2255. Thank you to everybody who supports the show, by the way. Please continue to support us. It's really important. We had all our bills come in, of course, the end of month bills come in yesterday to pay for the previous month. That's our costs, by the way, and our costs are quite a lot. We don't cover our costs with the subscriptions and with the donations we get. We nearly get there. So please do support the show. We give you topics. We give you a platform to air your opinion. You won't get that opportunity on any other radio show in the country. They will not allow you the opportunity because, as you know, we live in a very woke society. So please do continue to support the show. It'll become more important over the next few weeks, and I'll tell you why, but it will become very important. So please do support the show. The number is 085-122-255 if you want to WhatsApp us. But don't forget, go to our website and you can click the donate button or you can subscribe there. Let's click the donate button, Fiverr, 5 million, whatever you want to donate. Or you can subscribe there for $5.99 plus tax. That's like buying us all a cup of coffee, or buying us one cup of coffee between the five of us with the price of coffee nowadays. Sorry, he's telling me to remind you of something else in my ear, but I couldn't hear what he said. There you go. Also, by the way, I will be speaking to Nita Brun straight after the show today. That won't be going out live, but we'll pop it out tomorrow maybe. But it will be available on our website later on today. So if you happen to be about abortion, it's quite a shocking, tragic story, actually. But we'll be talking to Niamh about that at about 2:30 today. And that will go up onto our podcast. So there is advantages to signing up for the podcast subscription. There's a lot of interviews up there, by the way, like Kevin Lester, who we spoke to last Friday. That'll be up on our podcast website as well tomorrow. All those will go up and you will get to see those interviews that people normally don't get to see streamed. So we don't stream everything. So please do subscribe. NileBoylan.com. It helps us to provide the only fully interactive live podcast every single day. We provide that. It's the only one. Trust me. Other people try and claim that they have the only fully interactive podcast, but they don't. We have the only fully interactive. We have WhatsApp messages. We have phone calls. We have Zoom. We have two people on Zoom. We have a lot of technology that costs a lot of money. So please support us. Thank you. And I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.